Okay, we're beginning with the Mishnah on the top of Pei Aleph and Aleph. Sris Chama, Kohen. Sris Chama, as we've seen before, does not have the status classification of a Ptsua Daka. So he is Mutar to marry into the Kahal. Shenasa Bat Yisrael, that marries a woman who's a Bat Yisrael, Machila B'Truma. They do give her the right to eat Truma. The Havamina would have been that you have to have be Molid. Because it says Yelid Beito, which is the qualification for Kinyan Kaspo. And so maybe you would think this would preclude the woman from having the possibility of being Truma. The Mishnah gives you to know that she is able to eat Truma based on the fact that he's Mutar to marry her. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Androgynous Kohen. This is a Kohen who displays both character traits of male and female. Shenasa Bat Yisrael. That marries a Bat Yisrael, Machila B'Truma. Again, he's allowed to feed her Truma. The assumption being that Androgynous has the status of a Zachar. He's considered to be a male, and therefore he can marry this woman and then entitle her to Truma. This individual has the physical properties of both a male and a female, so here we're going to treat him like a Zachar. The Gemara later on is going to say that Rabbi Yossi retracted this position because we know from the Mishnayot in other places in Shas that Rabbi Yossi actually says that Androgynous is a Birya Bifnei Atzma. It's its own creation, its own entity. It doesn't qualify neither as a Zachar nor as a Nekeva. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tumtum Shenikra, a Tumtum who displays no physical characteristics of a male or a female, but then they ripped open the area around where his sexual parts would be, Vinimsa Zachar, and they figure out that he is actually a male. Lo Yachlots Mipnei Shehu Ketzaris. He shouldn't do chalitza because he has a din like a saris. The Gemara will discuss all of these issues. Androgynous no say avalonisa. Androgynous can marry, but cannot be married to. I mean, we're treating him like a zachar, not like a nekeva. He has the ability to extend marriage. Does not have the ability to accept marriage. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Androgynous chayven alav skila kezachar. That he has a din like zachar, so therefore, if there are mishkevei zachar, a homosexual act, is done with him, then that has a din like Mishkevei Zachar, and there's a Chiyuv Mita that's associated with it. If they ask what's the difference between the different statements in the Mishnah with regards to Androgynous, that he is a male. It seems to me that we're treating like a male all the way through. What we can note about Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that it's only true if they have Mishkev Zachar as a Zachar. If they use his Makom, or his physical characteristics as a Nekeva, now, even though it's a sur, it will not result in a chiyuv mita because they're not acting like mishkevei zachar. Now, the Gemara says pshito about the first part of the Mishnah. If the person, a kohen, is allowed to marry without any problem, why shouldn't his wife be entitled to truma? So the Gemara answers what we mentioned in the Mishnah, which is maldutema molid ma'achil sheino molid enu ma'achil. Only someone who is able to procreate will grant his wife the entitlement to truma because it says vilid beito hem yochlu. So that only those born to his household will be entitled to Truma. And you would think that Ro'i Laholid, someone who is Ro'i to procreate, would grant that entitlement. Enu Molid, Enu Machil. But if he can't do that, he would not grant that entitlement. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. Even though it's phrased in that way, it's not a qualification that he must be able to give birth. As long as he can extend Kiddushin properly to this woman, then she is considered to be Kinyan Kasbo, and she will eat or be entitled to Truma. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Androgynous. Amar Reish Lakish, Ma'achila B'Truma, Ve'ina Ma'achila B'Chazeh V'Shok. This Kohen is able to entitle the woman to eat Truma, but he's not enabled to entitle her to eat Chazeh V'Shok. Truma is one of the Matnot Kuhuna B'Gvulin that the Kohen can eat. Chazeh V'Shok are the Matnot of the Korbanot, the Kodshim Kalim, that his family is also entitled to participate in. So the females and the children of the household are able to participate in these matnot kuna. The truma, because it's kodshei gvul, the kodoshim here, the chazev shok, which are the matnot that come out of the shlamim, they're entitled to because those are kodshim kalim. So both of these are things that normally you would be entitled to as a member of the Kohen's household. What Rish Lakish says is, the din is bifurcated. Truma, the case is yes. By Chazev Shok, the case is no, that this woman is not entitled to that. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Af Machila B'Chazev Shok. Rabbi Yochanan says that she's even entitled to a Chazev Shok. She's entitled to the Korbanot as well. Gemara asks the obvious question, which is, Ule Reish Lakish, Maishna Chazeh V'Shok D'Oraita. What's the difference between Chazeh V'Shok, which is Minat Torah, Truma Nami D'Oraita? Truma is also Minat Torah. Why would you differentiate between Truma and Chazeh V'Shok? They're both Torah laws. They're both Torah laws. There's no reason to split the din between them. Now, obviously, embedded in the question is the answer, which is the fact that they say they're both D'Oraita means that the answer is going to be no. Talking about Truma Bizman Hazeh. So Truma Bizman Hazeh, which is only Dirabanan. So that's why he differentiates. He says, Truma Dirabanan, we're going to allow these Kiddushin to entitle the woman to the Truma Dirabanan. On the other hand, Chazeh V'Shok, which is Doraita, they will not be entitled to. Aval Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam. So then when the Beit HaMikdash is extant, my, what would be the din? Lo, that they wouldn't be entitled to it. So that means that when you have a Beit HaMikdash, you're not entitled to either. You're not entitled to the Truma, you're not entitled to the Chazeh V'Shok. Nowadays, you're entitled to the Truma because really, Chazeh V'Shok is not even relevant anymore because you don't have a Beit HaMikdash. So now the Gemara asks, Adetani. So then, instead of writing the din, the way that Reish Lakish expressed it, which is, Ein Machila B'Chazeh V'Shok, Liflog V'Litnei B'Dido. You could made a finer distinction even within Truma itself, which is, Bamed V'Rimomurimim B'Truma D'Rabbanan. That's only true by Truma Devana. About Truma D'Oraita, lo. That would have been a finer distinction. Why get involved with Chazeh V'Shok at all? Chazeh V'Shok, as you said, is not relevant. It's just relevant when the Mikdash is there, not relevant when it's not there. The real distinction here is between Dirabanan and D'Oraita, and you could have made that distinction within Truma itself. Why go out to Chazeh V'Shok to get that distinction? Where it says, Achanami Ka'amar, as the Gemara always wants to do, it says exactly, that's exactly what he meant. That's what exactly what he was describing, which is, Kishum Achila, Machila b'truma b'zman hazeh d'rabanan. Ve'en machila b'zman chazeh v'shok. So don't read it as being that she can eat truma, she cannot eat chazeh v'shok. Rather, it's giving you the time period. Nowadays, you can eat the truma. Why? Because the truma is d'rabanan. In the time of chazeh v'shok, what does it mean, time of chazeh v'shok? That means when the Beit HaMikdash is extant. Because you only have chazeh v'shok when it's extant. So at the time that you have chazeh v'shok, then afilu truma derabanan. Even truma derabanan you can't eat. Not only d'oraita, but even truma derabanan you can't eat. Tilma ati lo chla b'truma d'oraita. Because maybe he then will be machilota truma d'oraita. So what they are saying is, Reish Lakish's statement is exactly that. Bizman hazeh, she gets to eat. Well, there's only one thing to eat, bizman hazeh, which is truma. And that's truma derabanan. Now about the fact that truma is derabanan, first of all, that is a machloket, tanaim, amoraim, all through Shas. And it is premised on one of two ideas. Either the fact that kedushat haaretz and kedushat hamikdash with regards to the kedushah shnia was not permanent. It was l'sha'ata b'lo la'atid lavo. And therefore, when the mikdash was destroyed or the haaretz was destroyed, so was the kedushah that was associated with the mikdash or with the aretz. Again, those two dinim actually could be separated one from the other. The mikdash and the aretz might actually be different. That is seemingly what the Rambam does. Or the other possibility is that even though there still is kedushah to aretz, there may be a separate requirement that Rov Yisrael be shurim al admatam, that the majority of Jews must live in Eretz Yisrael to give it that tokef of a din d'oraita with regards to mitzvot atluyot baretz. So even though the inherent kedushat haaretz is still extant, you still need the Rov Yisrael shruim al admatan in order for it to reach a level of d'oraita. So for either of those two reasons, either because the kedushat haaretz was nitbatel, or because Rov Yisrael is not shruim al admatan, therefore, what Reish Lakish is saying is that truma, bizman hazeh is midrabanan. Bizman Beit HaMikdash, which means bizman chazeh v'shok, she doesn't eat anything. She doesn't eat truma. She doesn't eat chazeh v'shok, and doesn't even eat truma derabanan, because truma derabanan might lead to truma d'oraita. So Gemara says that's exactly what Reish Lakish was saying. Rabbi Yochanan amar af machila b'chazeh v'shok. Rabbi Yochanan says she's even entitled to chazeh v'shok, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan sees this as being on parity, which is we're talking about truma and chazeh v'shok are both d'oraita. Since they're both d'oraita, she eats both of them. There's no reason to differentiate between them. Amrle Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, Umi savar truma bizman hazeh d'rabanan? Do you really hold that truma bizman hazeh d'rabanan? Amrle Reish Lakish says back to him, in. Yes, I do believe that's the case. Shani shoneh, because I have this Tanaic statement, which is, igul b'igulim ola. That when you have an igul dveila, which is a circle of pressed figs, that gets mixed up with other pressed figs, ola, it's batel. Right, so now we're talking about here truma. So you have an igul of truma that got mixed up with other igulim, other pressed fig circles. And now we're saying that it is ola. Ola means it's batel. Question is, why is it batel? So now his assumption, or Rish Lakish's assumption, is the reason it's batel is because we're only dealing with truma derabanan. Since it's only truma derabanan, we're going to allow it to be batel. Whereas if it were truma doraita, then we would go to chumra and say that it is not batel. So the fact that it is truma derabanan makes it that it is batel over here. And on top of that, we're going to learn from that or extrapolate from that truma bizman hazeh is derabanan, because that's why this din is stated. Now the igul is that it's peirot, and trumat peirot is only midrabanan, because truma deoraita is only dagan tirosh v'yitzhar. So here we have trumat peirot, and this trumat peirot is midrabanan, which presents a problem, because that means that even bizman beit hamikdash, this truma would have been truma derabanan. So what's Reish Lakish's proof that the fact that it is batel, what does that prove about truma bizman hazeh? So Rashi says, because the fact that it is batel would parallel that which is true by truma d'oraita. And then even though truma te'inim is only peirot, which are chayav and truma midrabanan, nevertheless, because you would have patterned the din after the din d'oraita, therefore, if it was the fact that truma bizman hazeh was d'oraita, then even though this truma is midrabanan, I wouldn't allow you to have it be batel, because truma d'oraita would not be batel. But because bizman hazeh all truma is d'rabanan, therefore I'm saying over here that it is batel. So again, that's a big distinction that Rashi notes here. It's an important distinction, which is despite the fact that this would be truma d'rabanan, both bizman beit hamikdash, both bizman hazeh, nevertheless, bizman hazeh, or even bizman beit hamikdash, we're going to pattern truma derabanan after truma d'oraita. So if there is truma d'oraita will be the paradigm, and then truma derabanan will look exactly like the truma d'oraita, and it would not be batel. But if truma is only derabanan across the board, then when you use that as the paradigm, it is truma derabanan. And therefore, by truma derabanan of te'inim, we're going to say it's batel, because even truma, quote unquote, that would have been d'oraita bizman beit hamikdash is still batel now, because it's all derabanan. Other rishonim suggest over here that the reason is either this is according to those shitot that say trumat peirot is midoraita, and we have shitot not only in the Gemara but even in the rishonim that indicate that trumat peirot is midoraita, or like the shita d'raivod who says that the trumat peirot of shivata minim are d'oraita. So according to those opinions, then the proof from Tehinim will be the fact that it is actually Doraita, and therefore Bizman Hazeh it's Batel, despite the fact that it is Doraita. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan says back to him, Halo ani shoneh chaticha bechatichot ola. Don't I also say that a chaticha bechatichot is ola? So now, based on that, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, chaticha bechatichot is talking about, we're going to see in a second, Kodashim. And Kodashim are clearly Doraita. And we see here that it is batel, even though that it is de'oraita. So you see here that you have a din d'oraita and it's batel. So how can you prove anything from the igulim? Just because the igulim are batel doesn't automatically mean it's the rabbanan. It could be d'oraita, just like chaticha shebechatichot. Over there we also say it's batel, even though it's clearly de'oraita over there. Right, so now, you feel what you're raising is exactly what the Gemara is going to speak about now, which is something that is davar choshuv. Something that is significant is not batel. Now the question is, how do you determine what is considered to be significant? And this is a machloket about how to read a Mishnah. And that's going to actually turn out to be the machloket of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is what is considered to be significant over here. Misavart, kol shedarka limanot shanino. Do you really think that the way that we learn the Mishnah is kol shedarko limanot, which means that anything that is counted, not necessarily all the time, it's sold quantitatively most of the time or even some of the time. Sometimes you give it, just say take a whole bunch instead of actually counting it out. But there are times where it's measured in quantity. Et shedarko limanot shanino. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that it's only in a case where that's the only methodology for selling it. It's so important that that's the only methodology for selling it is through count or quantity. You wouldn't sell it any other way. So since that's the case, then it's chashuv. So the machlokas is what grants something chashivut. Is the fact that it's always counted, it's only sold by quantity, nothing else. That's what's granted chashivut. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. On the other hand, Reish Lakish believe that it's kol shadarko limanot. Kol shadarko means anything that is counted at sometimes. If it's used as a quantity at sometimes, then it's considered chashuv. Mahi. So now the Gemara wants to know, where does this all come from? This comes from a Mishnah in Orla, which is mi shayulo chavilei tlatan, someone who has these bundles of fenugreek, shel kilaya karen, but they were problematic, they were asurim, because they were planted in a vineyard, and therefore they have a din of kilaya karen, which is asur v'achila, asur v'hana'ah, has to be burnt. Idlaku, they have to be burnt. Nitarvu v'acherot, they got mixed with others that are not asurim, then kulam idlaku, they all have to be burnt. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Chachamim armim yalu bechadu matayim. They can be batel with 201, which is the standard bitol for kilaya kerim. Again, really midoraita, they're batel berov. Mitzvah Rabbanan, they instituted with certain nisurim, like truma, it's 100-1. By Orla, which has an isur achila and isur hana, they made it 200-1. So there is a level at which it's batel. So here the chachamim say that if it's 200-1, it is batel. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer. This is the explanation for Rabbi Meir's opinion. Kol shedar kol imanot mikadesh. Anything that is enumerated is mikadesh, makes other things asur. Since it's so significant that it cannot be batel, it will be mikadesh, these other things. The machloket here is exactly what is the statement in Rabbi Meir's position. Is Rabbi Meir Omer kol shedar kol imanot? Oh, et shadarko limanot. That's the question within Rabbi Meir's position. Which one is it? So now, chachamim armim, eino mikadesh al shisha dvarim bilvad. Chachamim say that only six items have this status of being so significant they're not batel. Rabbi Kiva omer shiv'a. And Rabbi Kiva says there's a seventh item. Ve'eluhain. What are these six items that are so chashuv? It goes a perech, rimone bedan. So these are names of places. These are the nuts. They come from Perech, which is a significant nut. It was very important. Chashuv. Tosafot, the reed, on the other hand, suggests that it's Hashem Shenifrachim, that they crumble in your hand, and that's what gives them significance. Same thing with the Rimune Badan, these pomegranates that came from this place. V'chaviot stumot, barrels of wine that are sealed. Again, they're significant in of themselves. Chafei tradin, this specific species of beets or spinach. The kulchei kruv and the stalks of the cabbage, the dlat ivanit and this Greek gourd, Rabbi Kiva Mosif af kikarot shel balabayit. Rabbi Kiva says homemade bread is also in this category of being significant. These are items that you don't just give away, you don't sell them commercially in huge quantities. They are so significant that they are sold in number, and those are the only items that the chachamim say are not batel. So they have a list. Exclusive list of which things are not batel. Rabbi Kiva adds one more item to that. Rabbi Meir, no, it says there's a principle, and you follow this principle. And the question about the principle is, it should darko limanot or kol should darko limanot? That's the question about what is Rabbi Meir's statement about what is not batel over here. And then Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about that position. Ruim na orla ola, the kilaya kerem, kilaya kerem. The Easter that we're discussing over here with regards to these items, with the fruits, those are things that are problematic. How did they become asur? It's because of orla, not kilaya kerem, because it wouldn't be applicable in terms of kilaya kerem, because there you need zera and you need a vine. So these are fruits. Those fruits can be asur because they're orla. Orla also has an isur achila and isur hana associated with it. So it's in the same status as kilaya kerem. So ra'im li orla will be, the problem there will be orla, which is the egozim, the rimonim, and the chaviot yayin. All of those are problematic because of orla. Everything else is problematic. The kilei kerem can kilei kerem. Anything else that could be kilei kerem will be kilei kerem, which is the tradim, the kruv, and the dalat, which obviously could be kilei kerem. Obviously, the grapes themselves also could be kilei kerem on the other side, which is, they're not the zera part of it, they are the grape side, the divine side of kilei kerem. Rabbi Yochanan savar et shadarko limanot shaninu. Rabbi Yochanan says that only things that are miuchad b'minyan, they are only counted, they are only quantitatively sold. Those are the items that are not batel. Things that are problematic are things that even sometimes are enumerated, as long as they are sold quantitatively, then it would be problematic. So now, if going back to our issue here, we have here igulei dvela, Igulei dvelar are something that is kol shadar kol imanot, which means that sometimes they are sold quantitatively. Occasionally they're sold by umdana, they're sold just by estimate or just the rough grouping or weight. So therefore, if truma bizman hazeh was doraita, there's no way that we would allow that to be batel. And therefore, when you have igulei dvela that fall into other igulei dvela, then they are not ola. The only reason they're ola is because the truma bizman hazeh is midirabanan. That's the answer of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says no, because igulei dvela, even doraita, would be batel, because they are not et shadar kol imanot. They are not exclusively sold quantitatively. They're sold even other methodologies, so they're not so chashuv. Since they're not so chashuv, even doraita, they would be batel, and therefore you can't prove anything from that statement, which is that it is batel. His proof is from chaticha b'chatichot. Bechaticha b'chatichot again, over there, I show you that it's batel. It's clearly doraita because we're talking about kodashim. And it is batel. So I prove to you that it's things that are not exclusively sold quantitatively. They're only sometimes sold quantitatively. There is bitol, and it's not a problem, even if you say truma's doraita, because I have kodshim doraita, where I have the same din, and they are batel. Now that we've completed that mishnah from Orla, the question is, how does the Gemara know that all those Tanaic quotes that we had before are according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir? The Gemara here is premised on Shita Rabbi Yossi, as we'll see later on. The Gemara is trying to speak within the position of Rabbi Yossi, whether according to Rabbi Yossi, an androgynous is a vaday zachar, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the woman that's married to him is entitled to both Truma and Chazeh V'Shoh, or does Rabbi Yossi believe that androgynous is really a safek, and therefore there's only entitlement to Truma, Truma midrabanan, and not Chazeh V'Shoh, according to Reish Lakish. But then we quoted these other brightot where Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing about the status of Truma Bizman Hazeh, but none of those have any attribution or authorship. And Tosafot asked the question as to how do we know that these are in the Shita of Rabbi Meir and not in the Shita of the Chachamim. So Tosafot says the fact that the brighta gave an example when it came to Bitul of Igul or Igulim shows you that we must be talking about Truma Aliba de Rabbi Meir, because if you were going to say that same din in the Shita of the Chachamim, which is that they're batel because they just don't have significance, then the Breita should have brought something of a Doraita level of significance, like a Beitza Trefa that got mixed up with other Beitzim. So there you would have a din Doraita that is showing that it's not a problem to be mevatelet because they hold like the Chachamim, that only six things are considered to be Chashuv and prevent the ability of Bitul. The fact that the Breita, Igul ben Igulim, uses that as the example shows you that we're speaking within the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And the same is true by the Chatichot. When we talk about the Chatichot Basar, how do we know again that the attribution there is Rabbi Meir and not the Shita of the Chachamim? Because if it was the Shita of Chachamim, you should have used something, a better example, something that is Darkoli Manot. They should have picked something that is only sold by quantity. And nevertheless, according to the Chachamim, would be batel because they think that's not considered to be chashuv. The fact that it brought an example that was not a darkol imanot, but rather kosha darkol imanot, shows you that this brayta again by the Chatichot is speaking within the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And through that, Tosafot shows that all of these brayta that we are quoting are speaking within the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And that is why Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan assume that those brayta are speaking in Rabbi Meir's Shita. And they're explaining, according to their own positions, how Rabbi Meir would fit into each of those occurrences. In addition, Tosafot also asks another question, which has an underlying assumption in it, which is, he says, if Reish Lakish really believes that Truma Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanan, then the same should be true by Kilay HaKerem. That Kilay HaKerem should also only apply the Rabbanan, and not the Oraita. Again, there are a lot of assumptions embedded in that. And therefore, he asks the question about, in Reish Lakish's Shita, why is it by Igulei Dvela that they are batel? And over here, by Kilei HaKerem, they are not batel. So Tosafot answers that by Kilei HaKerem, there's only one din derabonon that it applies today. Whereas by the Igulei Dvela, there are actually two dinim derabanan, which is, number one, the Beit HaMikdash is not extant, and therefore Truma Bizman Hazeh is derabanan. And on top of that, we're talking about Tainim, which are also Dirabanan. So there it's a double Dirabanan. So since there it's a double Dirabanan, that's why he's Mekil. Whereas by Kila Yekerim, where it's only a single Dirabanan, there the Mishnah was not Mekil. But that goes back to what we spoke about earlier, that the case of Teinim is actually a case of Truma Dirabanan, even the Zman Beit HaMikdash. And here Tosafot uses that to differentiate that from the case of Kila Yekerim, which might be only be one Din Dirabanan. Now the Gemara is going to ask, Mai Chaticha? What is this Din of Chatichot over here? The Tanya, Chaticha Shel Chatat Me'a, you have a piece of chatat meya that got mixed up with pieces of chatot that are tehorot. So you have kodshim with kodshim, 100 to 1. A small piece of the lechem apanim, which is tmeya. It got mixed up with 100 pieces of lechem apanim that are tehorot. Tale, that is batel. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, lo tale. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not batel. So the Tanna Kamma holds that it's batel because reasoning, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that it's not something that et darko shebimanot. It's not something that's exclusively sold by quantity. And since it's not exclusively sold by quantity, it's not chashuv. Since it's not chashuv, it can't be batel. And that's what the Tanna Kamma says, taleh, that there is bitul over here. Rabbi Yehuda says, lo taleh, not for any of the reasons that we say, but Rabbi Yehuda the Shittato says, min bimino is la batel. Min bimino is not batel. And therefore, over here, it is a problem of min bimino. Tosafot disagrees with that, because Tosafot says at the top Tosafot and Pei Bet Amud Aleph says that davka b'davar lach umitarev idle Rabbi Yehuda lo batel. Rabbi Yehuda only holds that min bimino is not batel when we're dealing with a liquid and something that mixes completely. But here, obviously, we're talking about finite objects. We're talking about things that are distinct, bread, pieces of meat, and they don't mix together well. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda, who says min bimino is not batel, over here would not say that min bimino is not batel. And therefore, you're going to have to come up with a different reason for Rabbi Yehuda's argument over here, because here we're talking about a davar yavesh. And a davar yavesh is something that is distinct. And therefore, you will not have this din of min bimino is not batel. Rather, it is Rabbi Yehuda the Tamei. Tamar belitra k'tziot lo batela. Thereby k'tziot, he says that they're not batel. Because he believes kol shedarkoli manot is not batel. And these are items that are sometimes sold quantitatively, and therefore they're not batel. The Tosafot argues with Rashi as to why Rabbi Yehuda here argues on the Tanna Kamma. Then that Braita continues and says, Aval chaticha shel chatat teura. If you have a piece of chatat that is Torah, shenitarva b'mei chatichot shel chulin, tehorot. So now instead of it being a chatat and chatat, it's a piece of meat that is kodshim and chulin, and they got mixed together, and now you have a problem because there's chatat mixed in with a chulin. Now it can be eaten, but just can only be eaten by a kohen inside of the azara, but it's not problematic in terms of eating, it's problematic for Yisrael. Chayim prusot shel lechem apanim teorah, shenitarva b'mei prusot shel chulin teorot, divrei hakol lo taleh. In these cases, everybody agrees that you're not going to be maleh. Rashi explains why that is. Because even the Tanna Kamma over here agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that it's not going to be batel. Hol v'efshar l'mochran the kohen behefsed muat. You can sell him off to the kohen for a very little loss. Basically, the kohen will buy it from you. There's 100 chulin in there which are worth full value. There's a piece that belongs to the kohen which you can't sell, obviously, because it belongs to him. So here you're going to have to discount the whole thing because of that one piece that's in there. Not only because he doesn't have to pay for that piece, but the fact is that nobody else can eat it besides the kohen. So you're going to have to sell it at a certain amount of a discount. But that discount is not a complete loss. And since it's not a complete loss, we're going to say it's not batel. That's what Rashi says here. So darkam limanot, mishum hefseid muat, lo mevatlina nisura doraita. Just because that it's a small loss, we're not going to override a din doraita. Even though we saw before that an eagle dvela is batel bechulin, because the eagle itself is truma derabonon. And therefore, since it was truma derabonon, we allowed you to be mevatelet, because we're not dealing with a din d'oraita. When you deal with a din d'rabbanon, even a hefsed muat, we can say is batel. When you deal with a din d'oraita, and it's a hefsed muat, we're not going to override the din d'oraita. So that's the distinction between what we saw here and we saw before in the Eagle de Vela, as well as the distinction within this Tanaic work, as to why here we're going to say that it's not batel, because here there's a solution. And when there's a solution, there's not a hefsed merubah, we're going to say follow the din d'oraita and say it's not batel. That's Rashi's explanation. On the other hand, Tosafot says here the reason that in the Seifa it's not batel is because it's what's called ra'ui lehit kabeid ba. It's something that you can serve to guests. If you can serve something to guests, then it is significant. And since it is significant, it's not batel. So in the first case, where we're talking about kodashim, over there, there's no din of litkabed ba, because it's divided amongst the kohanim. There's no service before ochim. On the other hand, in the seifa of this braito, where it's talking about chulin, over there, if it's batel, then you'd be able to serve it to your ochim, and that would mean that it has significance, the meat over here. And because of that, it is a problem, and that's why it's not batel. There are those rishonim that suggest that we're talking about raw meat over here, and therefore the din of the hitkabed ba does not apply, because you can't serve the raw meat to the guests, and therefore it doesn't have a significance on its own, and the reason would be more along the lines of what Rashi said, that you have a hefseid mu'at over here. They lean in that direction because Tosafot's explanation then raises other issues as to why it says that it's chulin to ora. It could have even been chulin to mea. Tani mihat, reisha tale. So, but nevertheless, it does say in the reisha that it is male, which is Rabbi Yochanan's point to Reish Lakish. Here you have pieces of meat, which sometimes are enumerated, sometimes are sold quantitatively, and nevertheless, we're saying that it is batel. So Reish Lakish, how are you going to deal with that? That's my question on you. That's what I asked you before. When you told me about the din of eagle, I told you the din of chatichot. Here is this din of chatichot, where you see that something that's sometimes sold quantitatively is batel. So I'm Rabbi Chia Brei Derav Huna Binimucha. It's a case where it dissolved. It became a liquid. So since it became a liquid or dissolved, now it's all mixed together. It's mu'urav. There's no way to create anything that is distinct over here. So, iochi, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. If it's nimucha, and it totally dissolved, then what is Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning over here that it isn't batel? I mean, here they're clearly mixed together. When you have it nimucha, there's no chashivut anymore. You can't talk about something significant if it doesn't have any delineation or segregation. Over here, nimucha means that they melted down and now they become one unit. They're clearly batel because there's no way you could say that the chashuv item. It's not a chashuv item. They're all together now. It's all mixed. So that's why it's batel. But for Rabbi Yehuda, why is he saying it's not batel? The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda the Tamei, Damar, Min Bimino, Lo Batel. That when it's the same min, it's not batel. And this is what Tosafot says. Here, where it's a liquid, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that Min Bimino is Lo Batel. And as Tosafot points out, there's a logical reason to believe that Min Bimino is Inu Batel when you're talking about liquids or items that can mix well. In that case, we say Min Bimino is not batel. But in cases where you're talking about yavesh, items that are distinct, and you just can't tell them apart, over there it's hard to argue that min bimino is not ibim bimino enu batil, because really there's really no tarovet. And that's how Tosfot says, v'svaruhu, v'var mitarevi mitpashay tama yisur b'chola heter v'lo batel. V'odor yavesh, ha'yisur munach bimkomo. It stays in place. El sheinikar heichanhu. We just don't know where it is. Because it hasn't spread, it's just we don't know which one of the objects is of Yisur. So min mino is lo batil, that helps you out over here. But the fact is, the Gemara came to that here, means that beforehand, that's not what they were using as the reasoning, and that's why Tosafot argues on Rashi. One of the reasons he argues on Rashi, which is, it seems the Gemara didn't have this information yet, and therefore how could you suggest before that that was the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's position? I'll give you the reasoning of the Ran, which is probably the easiest one to explain, where the Ran explains why min mino is not batil. Is because the way that bittul works is, if I have contrasting items, then the contrasting items can come and they can offset each other or override each other. When I have items that are of similar ilk or similar type, there's not enough contrast here for them to be mevatel each other. That's the reasoning that the Ran gives, which is the equivalent of opposites. When they come together, they're going to somehow meld together or form a unit. Whereas when you have things that are similar, then they don't have that ability to override each other because they are the same. You need opposites to override. You need something that contrasts with the object to be different in order to override. Basically, if they are things that are contrasting in nature, then we can have them be batel. Things that are not contrasting in nature, they're not batel. That's the Ran's explanation for what Rabbi Yehuda's position is, or as to why min bimino is lo batel, or why there's a difference possibly in the din of min bimino versus min she'enu mino. So Rav Gemara says, avaloli moach mai. If it did not dissolve, it did not become a liquid, what would have been the din? Lo taleh. It would not have worked. It does not be vatel. So now the Gemara says, based on your explanation for Reish Lakish, adatani aval chaticha shechata torash, nitavar b'meya chatichot shel chulin torot, lo taleh, the seifa of the braita, which says that it doesn't work, niflog v'nitnei b'dida. Again, make a finer distinction, even within the item itself. The Reish, which is talking about a case where it dissolved, that's true where it's malet. That's where it's batel. Avaloni mocha lo tale. That if it's not dissolved, then it won't be male, it won't be batel. Instead of making it two separate cases, the resha and the seifa, the resha being a case where it's tamei and tahor, and the seifa being a case where it's tahor and tahor, that's not worth it. Just do it this way. Say the resha is tamei in a case b'mid reimurim b'ni mucha. But if it wasn't dissolved, then it wouldn't work and it wouldn't be batel. It's a much simpler way to express it. And it's also a finer distinction within that tanaic work. How come you didn't do that? So Gemara says, Torot bitorot adifalei. That the Tana liked this idea of Torot, Torot was better to him. Just tell us that even though two things are tahor, and there is bittul, there should be bittul over here, nevertheless, we're not allowing you to do bittul because it's only a hefseid mu'at. And since the hefseid mu'at, we're going to say not bittul. So that seifa has a chiddush embedded in it, separate from just the din that it's batel. There's an additional chiddush built into it, which is something you would have thought it would have been batel. It's not batel, not because of really the dinim of bittul, but because of the perspective of the whole picture, which is that for just a little loss, I can take care of this and not have to exercise bittul, which is I can sell it to the kohen and not have to work with the terms of bittul. So because of that, I'd rather you do that and only take a small loss on a din d'oraita, where we're talking about bittul d'oraita, rather than exercise bittul d'oraita. So that chiddush makes it that we want to have the safe of that tanaic work and not just say that lithlog v'nit nebi didah, make this finer distinction, because that finer distinction wouldn't have taught me this special din. Because by hefseid mu'at, we're not going to say bitul. That is Rashi's explanation of this, although Tosafot brings that alpha pei she'ini surah lezarim. The reason that Torot is adifalei is because here, the isur only applies to zarim. It's not an isur that applies to everybody. There are kohanim that can eat this item. Afilu ochi chamiro. Even so, it's so chamur that velo b'teilo. It's not batel. V'koshukein tmeyah di surah af the kohanim. Certainly, Tmeyah, where it's not only Asur to Zarim, it's also Asur to Hohanim. Therefore, you would have extrapolated from this case to the other case of Tmeyah. And so Tosfot says, the Chiddush here is that even though it's not Asur to everyone, nevertheless, it's Chamur enough to say that it's not Batel. All right, we're going to stop here 8 lines down on the top of Pei Bet Amud Aleph. I'll just repeat what we've said many times with regards to Bittul, which is that you always have to ask the question with regards to Bittul, is this something like Chatchila? Is this something that Bittul works, and that's it. It's done. Or this is something only bidiavad. If it happens, now we have to deal with the bittul. Now this position here, that when there's a hefseid mu'at, we tell you to sell it to the kohen, seems to be saying, or seems to be indicating, that bittul is only bidiavad. If we have no other choice, and we can't deal with it, and therefore there's going to be a hefseid mirubah, then we exercise bittul. But otherwise, we're going to tell you, deal with it in a way or a manner that does not exercise bittul. Because over here, technically, if bittul works, then why should I have to sell it to the kohen at all? If it's batel, it's batel, and I can eat all of them. What this is suggesting is that that's not the case. Even after bittul, if I have the option that the iser still is there, or there's some manifestation of the iser there, I'd rather you deal with it by not exercising bittul, using another method other than bittul. So this seems to line up in favor of that view of bittul, which is that bittul works, but only when there's no choice. If I have a choice, then bittul is not exercised. And again, it also might have nafkamina, which we've discussed again in the past, as to, even in this case, if you did say bittul, where you have 100 to 1, are you allowed to eat all 101 of them, or you can only eat 100 of them? You have to assume that one of them is asur. What do? I just designate one of them, and that is the one that is asur? Or can I eat all of them? Again, that might relate to the same question as to when bittul works. Does it work? Absolutely. Or does bittul work only in the sense that if I have no other choice, I'm going to exercise it, and therefore I'm going to look at it as if it is batel, but I still have to deal with the fact that there is one issue or one item that's isser that is still embedded in there. Okay, we're going to stop here.